Awesome. I tell you, I'm not a female, but I want to go. That sounds fun, except for the shopping part. I'm good. I'll do the online thing. But it's good to see you. Good morning. How is everyone? Good. It's good to see you. I trust that you all ate a lot of food. Yeah? I trust that you had a good family time and are embracing the Christmas music and the Christmas spirit. And I love it. And you might be one of those people that wait. How many of you wait to listen to Christmas music till after Thanksgiving? Yeah. Right? I'm there with you. Some of you break the rule and listen to it early, but God still loves you. We had a great weekend, our family. We have already done some of the fun family things that we like to do. We got our tree. We decorated our tree like we do every year. I went through the annual get very frustrated at Christmas lights that don't work when all they did for a year is sit in a tote. Anyone else have that problem? I tell you, my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit is going to ignite someone in this room that is going to figure out a way to create Christmas lights that don't have to be replaced every single year. And so I had my annual get really frustrated. I think here's my wife and I. This is just a little snapshot into our life. We've been married for almost, this will be our 13th Christmas being married. So we'll be married 14 years in April. It's pretty exciting, pretty good. I think we have every single strand of Christmas lights that we've bought for the last 13 years. And every year, we buy new lights to put on our tree. Every year, without fail. I went through probably 50 strands of Christmas lights, and I found five. And I've gone through them, and then I have to get saved again because I get angry and I get mad. And I'm getting angry just thinking about it and talking about it. So I'm going to stop. But if that's you, if you want to be that person that want to make my life easier, then invent something that will cause the Christmas lights to work. Because, and if you like broken Christmas lights, I have a bag of probably 45 strands of them that you can come and I will give them to you for free. So none of them work, but they can be yours if you'd like. But I trust and pray that all of you are having incredible memories and traditions with your family. And what a fun season to be a Christian. Amen? I tell you, the greatest season where they're playing praise music through the hallways of the malls, if you go to the malls or the grocery stores. I just love this season. We've got a lot of cool things going on. A great opportunity. You know, they say more people's hearts are open to the Lord during Christmas than any other time. And I think, Lord, let us be ready to not only celebrate the traditions that we're going to celebrate, but let us be ready to lead people to Jesus. Amen? And that's what we're all about. And so I'm excited I get to share this morning. If you've been a part of us in the last 6 weeks, we've been going through a series called The God I Never Knew. And we've been talking about the relationship that we're all called to have with the Holy Spirit. And if you were not here, if you missed some weeks, if today's your first Sunday, the good news is you're going to get the recap. You're going to get the Cliff Note version. And if you have been here, I just continually hear stories of what God is doing through this series. I continually hear stories of how people, last week we had over 15 people that said yes to the Holy Spirit and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've continually just hear testimonies of what God is doing through this series, and it just makes me rejoice, and it makes me excited for the things to come. But if you have not been here, the recap over the last 6 weeks, I just want to, before I jump into anything new, today in the spirit of Christmas, I get to put a bow on the series and wrap it up, and we're going to get on to the next series. But the relationship, and I say the word relationship on purpose this morning, because you and I are called to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, relationships involves time, it involves affection, it involves inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of your life. Okay, so it's not just an imaginary force, that is a relationship that we're called to have with the Holy Spirit. And that relationship is meant to give you a number of things. The first thing that the relationship with the Holy Spirit is designed to give you is power. Did you see that? I said power and the lights flickered, people. Come on. If I'm not spiritual, I don't know who is, right? But the relationship that we're called to have with the Holy Spirit is meant to give you power. I've met too many Christians over the years that say Christianity is boring. And again, without power, yeah, Christianity probably would be boring. But when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's so exciting because you never know what's going to happen as you continually team up with the power of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. And so I hope in the last 6 weeks that you have a new power that you didn't have before. The second thing that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is meant to give you is authority. Pastor Ryan last week, he talked about the difference between power and authority. And so we have the power, but the authority is this. The authority is the right to walk in the power. Okay, I'll say it again. The authority is the right to walk in the power. Okay, I've met too many people that don't think they have the right to walk in the power of God. And I want to encourage you this morning that you have the right to walk in the power, because you are a son and you are a daughter of God. Okay, so we have power, we have the right to have the power. And then the third thing that our relationship, again, relationship with the Holy Spirit is meant to give us is victory. Okay, victory, not just in the areas that you're strong at, because that's like easy, but victory in the areas of your struggle. Victory in every area of your life. Where's Mackenzie? Mackenzie, are you still here? There's Mackenzie. Mackenzie, I love your vulnerability, right? I love that Mackenzie said, hey, I had a stronghold of fear, and I am now walking in victory over that stronghold of fear. That is what a relationship with the Holy Spirit is supposed to be, where you can overcome things in your life that you've struggled for years. And you could see victory over all of those things. That is what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is designed to do. So the Holy Spirit did not come for the following reasons. Because when we started this series, the Lord gave me a saying. And he said, your biggest hindrance to understanding the Holy Spirit is your current understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes my greatest enemy is the thing that I think I already know about. Yeah. Right? Or we may call it, I look at it in marriage. When you have expectations on your spouse, and they're just like, you know, supposed to know those things, it doesn't work out so well. Right? So I might have an expectation or a limited understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, but it might not be a reality. It might be just some false idea. And if I continually just hold on to that thing, I'm going to hinder myself from understanding who the true Holy Spirit is. And so we've said, God, would you blow away our understanding so that there's anything that's not of you wouldn't continue to be in our minds. Okay, so the Holy Spirit did not come to give you knowledge that puffs you up. Okay, I've met a lot of Christians that their relationship with the Holy Spirit, it makes me feel like, well, I'm less than them because they have this experience that I didn't have. The Holy Spirit wants to give us knowledge, but it's not knowledge that's supposed to make your head swell. Okay, the knowledge is designed to give you an opportunity to see other people be helped by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he didn't come to give you knowledge to puff you up. Okay, and I love this one. He didn't come to make you weird. Okay, I am weird on my own. Don't shake your head so much. Honey, I saw that. Right? But the Holy Spirit did not come to make you weird. And so there's this whole false understanding of if I give myself to be open to the Holy Spirit, then I'm just going to like do weird things. No, you're probably going to do weird things because you're just weird. Okay, the Holy Spirit didn't come to make you weird. Okay, the Holy Spirit didn't come to intimidate you or expose you. I will never forget as a young man, probably 12 years old, we were having a prophet come to the church. And I had a very limited understanding of what prophecy was all about and a limited understanding of what prophets were all about. And so I was like, I think I was like, trying to make myself get a fever on that Sunday. I was trying to convince my parents that, you know, I just couldn't go. It was chore morning. I need to do chores. I was coming up with any excuse to not come to church because I knew if I was going to come, that prophet was going to pick me out. And he was going to sense. And then he was going to expose my thought life. And he was going to expose my insecurity. And so when I came, I was like, okay, just don't make eye contact. Don't talk to him because he's going to sense something. That is not right. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit didn't come to intimidate you and to expose you, but he came to empower you and edify your life. Okay, so the Holy Spirit did not come for those things. He came that you would be so full. He came that you would be so alive. He came that you would be so connected to him. I love watching couples that have been married for a long time. My wife and I are starting to do that. But they, have you ever noticed that they finish each other's sentences? Some of you just did that. I think that is the cutest thing when couples can finish each other's sentences, right? Because they are so in tune with one another. They've done life together, and they're thinking the same thing. And that's how it's supposed to be with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we are so in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing that we could finish his sentence, that he could finish our sentence because there's a connection. I really felt like the Lord wanted to and wants to, with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, he wants to fill you with the mysteries that will help you give answers to people's questions. He wants to fill his people with the answers to mysteries. I tell you, there's a lot of mysteries I have in life. There's a lot of questions I have. But man, I want the Holy Spirit to use me to bring answers to those questions. Amen? And I want the Holy Spirit to use you to bring answers to those questions that will help people. And I believe this, as the days get near and as the days get darker, now more than ever before, the church needs to walk more closely with the Holy Spirit than ever before. I believe that with my whole heart because it's the only thing that's going to allow true and lasting change to come to our nation and to come to our cities. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 5, 13? And this is our text for the day. We're going to start at verse 13 and go through a little bit. But just to set it up for you in context, this is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. And I love all the disciples' questions because, number one, I have the same questions that they had, and I don't have to be the one to ask it first. The disciples already did, right? And that saying, there's no stupid questions. Well, the disciples asked a lot of those for us. We just get to see the answers. And he's talking to his disciples about their relationship that they're supposed to have with the world. Okay, and I think that's a topic that the church needs to continually speak on is how do we as Christians who live in the world, but we're not called to be of the world? What does that relationship look like? And that's one of my prayers is, God, how do we as a church relate to those who don't know you? What does that look like? And so that was a topic that was so close to the hearts of the disciples. And so we just get to pick up in verse 13. And so they're talking about this relationship. And Jesus says to them, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, verse 16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify God in heaven. Okay, so there's one of the most popular passages of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I want to break it down today. And I think in order to break it down, we got to understand what the light is referring to. Because when this was written, they didn't have LED. They didn't have fluorescent. They didn't have incandescent, right? They didn't have electricity. So when we read the word light, we cannot think light. Okay, but the light that we're referring to is fire. Okay, it's referring to a torch. It's referring to a candle. It's referring to a fire, so to speak. And so when we read these passages, I think it's very important that we remember, hey, they didn't have the light bulbs like we have. They were talking about a fire. They were talking about a candle. And so the title of my message today is Fuel to the Fire. Okay, fuel to the fire. And many of you are really good at bringing fuel to the fire, right? And usually that's in a negative sense, but I want to talk about fuel to the fire today. And so the first thing, we have to understand that we were created to do good things. Okay, you were created to do good. Your life was created to do good, to see good, where every place where you go as a follower of Christ should become better because of your influence. Okay, that's really challenging at times because it's very easy to morph into the circumstance and into the environment that you find yourself. But God says, no, you were created to do good. Okay, and in fact, your Christian life is marked by the good that you do. Okay, and some of us go, well, it's not just about works. Yeah, you're right. But the Bible says that your works will bring God glory because people can see your works. Okay, so you were created to do good. And I think the problem that I have with this, and I have problems with it, because I look at my life, I look at my current status of my life, I look at my current struggles, my circumstances, and then I look at my past, my history, my past failures, my past mistakes, and I ask the question, and I believe the lie, that says, can anything good really come out of my life? Right, does anyone else have that? Where you look at your past, you look at your struggles, man, I can't even get my marriage right, let alone get my, you know, relationship with God right. How could anything good come out of my current mess? And let me tell you right now, that is one of the biggest tactics of the enemy of our soul, is to get us to believe that our past history, our past mistakes have to direct our future direction in our life. Listen, your past does not have to dictate the future of your life. Okay, it does not have to. And I say that because I think a lot of times we underestimate the power of redemption. Listen, we underestimate the power of the gospel. We forget that Jesus' blood paid for all our sins. We forget that Jesus suffered so that we can live in victory. You know, God's plan for the church. I think a lot about that probably because I'm a pastor and I think, God, what is your plan with the church? Not just this church, but the church in general. And you read a lot of different blog posts and different things about the church, and you get all sorts of different answers. What is the church supposed to do? What is the church shouldn't do? And here's what I believe God's plan is for the church. God's plan for the church is that we would be a city set on a hill so that men and women would notice the good that we're doing and give God the glory because of it. We were created as a bunch of individual lights that when we gather together, we are like a city on a hill. Have you ever looked outside the window when you're flying into Seattle at nighttime, SeaTac Airport, and you see this, like, I'm not really a city guy, but man, there's nothing like Seattle at nighttime coming in. So cool. But what I love is that it's not, look at all that. It's, look at that little light there. Look at that little light there. But when you bring it together, there is just this city on a hill. And that's what God's plan for the church is. That we wouldn't be just holed up in our little corner, just waiting for Jesus to return. Yes, we're waiting for Jesus to return, but in that process, we better be a city on a hill. We better be shining for the glory of God. You know, there's this this tendency that the church in general, I think, has when things get dark. You know, how many of you know, you look at our nation and you can get discouraged. I look at different things going on in our nation in my own idea and in my own flesh. It could be discouraging. And so the tendency I have when things get bad is to just, I'm going to bring it in, right? I'm going to shut the doors, shut the blinds, just huddle up with my little family and just wait until it's over. And then Jesus is coming and it's all going to be better. And I think as a church, not just our church, but I think the tendency of the church is when things get darker that we want to go inward. When God hasn't called us to go inward, God has called us to be a city on a hill. God has called us to be a shining light in the midst of a dark generation. He hasn't called the church to go hide, shut the blinds, but his desire is to light the church up, right? To light you up. So that men would see your good works. Okay, that's his desire for the church, that we would be a victorious church. Okay, in Matthew 5, when it talks about letting your light shine so that men would see your good works, the word good means this. It means beautiful. It's attractive. Like there is something that they see in us that they say, that is just different. Right? Our good works or to bring God more glory in our life. Okay, all throughout Scripture, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times you see the Holy Spirit is depicted by fire. Okay, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Whenever they talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the word pictures that they use is fire. Okay, and I think of three things that the Holy Spirit is represented by fire. When I look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, the first one is God's presence. Okay, if you remember back the Israelites, right, we always like to talk about, but God's presence rested on them in the form of fire. And so the fire would lead them and they would move when the presence of God moved. And when the presence of God stayed, the fire stayed, the idea is that they would stay until God moved. Okay, and so we see that God's presence is depicted by fire. Okay, God's passion. A lot of times in church, you might hear, I'm burning for Jesus, or I'm passionately burning for the Lord. Right? That's because in the New Testament, in Luke 24, we see that when people had an experience with Jesus, they were set, not, well, some of them were literally set on fire, but that their hearts were burning with passion for the things of God. Okay, where you are so alive with what God is doing that it's like there's a fire that's inside of you and you can't contain it. If we look at Acts in the early church, that they had encounters with God in that upper room that sustained them for the rest of their life. Okay, so there is a passion. So when we talk about fire, we can talk about God's presence, but we can also talk about the passion that burns inside of us. Okay, and the third thing that we see when we see fire being used for the Holy Spirit is this. It's a sign of God's purity. Okay, we don't see it much anymore, but fire was used to purify things. Okay, it burned away the dross, the bad metal, the bad material. And so in our life today, a sign of the Holy Spirit's fire could be that the Holy Spirit is wanting to purify things inside of our heart. Where he wants to get rid of the bad attitudes, he wants to get rid of whatever else is hindering me from experiencing him. He wants to burn those things away. Mackenzie, that was what Mackenzie was talking about. The Holy Spirit wanted to burn those things so that fear didn't remain in her life anymore. Okay, so we see fire depicted all throughout Scripture. And here's what I know. I'm not a fireman. And I've seen fire do some pretty amazing things. But we can see, especially right now in California, fire can do some damaging things. But here's what I know about fires. The quickest way to quench a fire in the natural is to cut its fuel source. The quickest way, and again, in the natural, that's one thing. But I believe the quickest way to stop a fire in our spiritual life is to kill the fuel source. To get rid of what's feeding that fire. 2 Timothy 1 says it this way. He's encouraging believers, says to fan into flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands upon you. For God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Okay, so here's the New Testament author saying, kindle afresh the fire, right? Let the wind blow on that fire. Rekindle the embers or whatever you would call them, right? Stir it up so that it can burn afresh, so that it can shine afresh. And I think there's many times in my life where the Holy Spirit has said, you need to rekindle the fire, rekindle the passion. You need to stir it up, Justin, because your fuel source is dwindling. So stir it up. And I think about, okay, what does that mean for us? And to answer my own question, because I'm good at that, ask my wife. Sometimes I just need to say it out loud to get the answer. And then anyone else like that? Man, I'm hilarious. I'm an outside the brain processor for sure. But there is a relationship that you and I are called to have daily with the Holy Spirit that keeps your fire burning. There is a relationship. I'm not talking about just our prayer list that we give to God. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, you got to do this. But I'm talking about just being in the presence of God on a regular basis, rekindling that flame. Okay? There has to be that functioning in our lives if we want to be that city set on a hill that shines. Because here's the problem about life. You go through life and you pick up things. I go through life and it's very easy for me to pick up fear in areas. It's very easy for me to pick up a timid spirit in areas. When I'm walking through life and I'm like, God, I know I need to talk to this friend or I know I need to do this, but oh, what if he rejects me? What if he laughs at me? Right? We go through life and it's easy to give in to impulse. How many of you have ever given in to impulse in an area of your life? I have. Right? When I'm like nervous and I'm scared and I don't know what to do, and then the worst thing I can do is do something that's not led by the Spirit of God. Right? And impulse. I'll just do this. And oh, why'd I do that? Right? I struggle with that. How about indifference? Man, I need to connect with the Spirit of God on a daily basis because it's so easy for me to become indifferent to the condition of those around me. Where I'll stop seeing them with the eyes of the Spirit and the eyes of God, and I'll start seeing them with my fleshly eyes. Okay, I struggle with indifference. How about a cynical spirit? That's why I need to pray to the Lord on a daily basis. That's why I need to be immersed in his presence, because I can get cynical. Right? And my relationship with the Holy Spirit allows me to stay pure in the outflows of my life. Okay, Jude 20. It says this. It says, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and by praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love. You know, there's a connection with being in the Spirit and being in God's love. When I'm continually cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it is going to keep me inside of His love. It is going to keep me thinking His thoughts, seeing with His eyes, not with my eyes of flesh. All through the Old and New Testament, especially in the New Testament, we can see this theme. And this theme is private prayer precedes public shining. Okay, private prayer, and again, I'm not just talking about my to-do list with God. God, you got to do this. Just being, spending time in His presence, private prayer precedes public shining. Okay, they go hand in hand. Right, we see a lot of battles won. But for every battle that is won in the natural, there is 100 battles that have been fought in the spiritual realm. Okay, private prayer precedes public shining. Okay, our main scripture today in Matthew 5, it talks about our good works. Listen, the community, your spouse, those that don't know Jesus, they are supposed to see your good works. Okay, they are supposed to see them. I'm not saying boast your good works. Okay, let's use some wisdom. But the design is that they see the good that you're doing and they glorify God. Okay, so those things they're supposed to see. That's why I love our hometown holidays event. Right, if you haven't been, you got to come. It is an awesome opportunity to be present in our community as they are celebrating our holiday. Right, that's our holiday. And so I love that opportunity that we get where they don't get to see, oh, what a cool church, but they get to see what it's all about. They get to explain to their kids, why is there a baby in a manger? They get to experience that. I love that event we do. They are supposed to see your good works. But here's what they don't see. Okay, because they're supposed to see your good works, but what they don't see is what Matthew 6 talks about in verse 5. And it says this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be heard and seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already received their reward. But when you pray, verse 6, go into your room, shut the door. Right? I do it in my car, right? Go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, they're going to see us at hometown holidays, but they're not going to see the battle that was won in my prayer life on a daily basis. Okay, they're not going to see that, but there's a connection that private prayer precedes public shining. Okay, all through Scripture, the early church, as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, how many of you know in the upper room, the Holy Spirit met them? But they didn't stay in the upper room and just, what a great experience. Let's stay here forever. That'd be cool. And I love those moments when we encounter the Holy Spirit together. But after that, they went out of the room and they had to tell people, and thousands of souls were added to the kingdom on that day. Because I think a lot of us, we love to just be with the Holy Spirit when we get these encounters. But then He says, would you go? Would you do? Would you go shine now because you have the power and you're just so alive? Now go, let my glory be known. In Acts 4, we see it again that they prayed. And this time their meeting place was shaken. That would be crazy. Right? I'd be like, earthquake. It says the place they were at was shaken. And then they went out and they spoke the word of God boldly. You see this connection? It can't just be the outward things. Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But it can't just be, well, we're just going to huddle around and just soak in just the Holy Spirit. There is a connection where you are private in your prayer, but then God is going to make you shine in public. I put my water away because I didn't need it. I apologize. I'm just getting pretty excited. I'm getting pretty excited. Right? They don't see where the victory is really won in the place of your private prayer life, in your place of your private connection with the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's this connection. Private prayer, public shining. I didn't say public shaming. Public shining. We don't want public shaming. One of the other things that as we start talking about fuel to your fire, I said it earlier, but purity comes through private prayer. There is a purification process, and I'm not talking about anything weird. I'm not talking about like sexual purity. I'm talking about the purification process happens, the thing that Mackenzie talked about, where the struggles that you struggled with fall off of your life, and you are now more pure before the Lord. Those things happen in your private prayer life with the Lord. Okay, there is a purity process that God wants to do in your relationship with Him. Where your spirit, because we were created body, soul, and spirit, where your spirit connects with the Spirit of the living God. Okay, there's a connection that happens. And so when we connect our spirit with the Spirit of the living God, then the idea is that then we would walk out our life in the Spirit. Okay, that we wouldn't walk our life according to the flesh, right? But we would walk our life according to the Spirit. Listen, there are some days, and I love how Robert Moore said it. He said, I need to pray in the Spirit just so I can guard what comes out of my mouth. Right? I need to pray in the Lord just so I can get my heart right. Just so I can make sure that I don't, you know, yell at my neighbor because I want to yell at my neighbor. Man, I got to find time to pray with the Lord just so I act like a normal human at times. Right? Again, this stuff has to become real to us. It can't just be, oh, that's a cool sermon. No, I need the Holy Spirit so I can do my life well. I need the Holy Spirit so I can guard what comes out of my mind and what comes out of my mouth. Listen, some of me, I'll say some of me, because I don't want to say some of you, but sometimes I'm grouchy because I didn't connect with my Father in the morning. But some of you might be grouchy, and I'm just saying, would you just go find a place where your spirit can connect with the Lord? Because maybe your grouchiness will go away because your perspective is going to change. Listen, I can be negative. I can be so negative sometimes in my flesh. You hear that? In my flesh. But then I need to start feeding my spirit, where I will connect with the Lord. And guess what's going to happen? I'm probably not going to be so negative because I'm not going to walk according to my flesh. Listen, I need to pray for me. I need to pray in the Spirit so that I will respond in the Spirit. Listen, there was a time in my life where it was like, what's that saying? You do it with your wife where you buy the item that you know she wouldn't let you buy and you apologize later. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, I'm just going to buy this and then I'll tell her I'm sorry later. Listen, there's a time in our Christian life for that where you go back and you make things right when you blow it. But God wants to get his people to the place where you're not blowing it like that and have to come back and apologize. Where you are so in tune with the Spirit that you will walk in the Spirit. How are we doing? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a theme in the Bible, and I've heard it spoke on a number of times, but there's this phrase that I'm going to call strange fire. Okay, strange fire. Well, that's just weird in itself, right? Or another translation puts it, unauthorized fire. Okay, and if you look back through the Old and New Testament, you see where different people offered strange fire to God. And so I want to talk about what unauthorized fire looks like in our life today. Because unauthorized fire means this. It means any time you try to produce something your own way when God has already set up a way for you to approach him. Okay, that's what I'm talking about, unauthorized fire. Pretty much it's when you say, God, I want the results that you have for my life, but I want to do it my own way. Right? God, I want the end result, but I want to be in control of the process. And God says, no, would you allow me to do the process in you that I want to do? Okay, so unauthorized fire. It's when we take something that God has been and has designed a way for us to do it, and we add our own way to it. Okay, isn't that the truth of what we do as humans all the time? Well, I do it all the time, where I see something and I say, well, that's good, but I'll do my own way to get there. I try to get the same results apart from the Spirit of God. You know, I was challenged this last month as I was thinking about this message, and you know, God has called us to be a flame. God has called us to be a fire. God has called us to be a light. But when I don't connect with the Spirit on a regular basis, my light no longer shines to give God glory, but unfortunately, my light, my fire will start burning people. My fire will start cutting people. Right? When I am not connecting to the Lord, I'm going to take that fire, and I'm not going to give God glory. I'm going to start doing damage with it. You know, God gave me this picture. I see nowhere in the Bible that God gave you a spotlight anointing. Right? God did not give you a spotlight. He gave you a fire. God did not give you a spotlight. You know what I'm saying? Because when I don't connect with the Lord, the quickest thing that I can do is I start looking at other people and I start looking at their faults. And I start shining my Jesus light. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Hey, I'm gonna use my light, not for God's glory, but I'm going to use my light to expose the sin in other people. Listen, God did not make you a spotlight. He made you a torch. He made you a candle. He made you a fire that would shine. Let him be the spotlight in people's lives. Amen. Let him be the one to expose the sin in our hearts, because he's the Holy Spirit, right? I'm not the Holy Spirit, right? My job is not to be the Holy Spirit. My job is to pray. My job is to let my light shine. And my job is to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Because it's a lot easier and it's a lot less messy to see the Holy Spirit do his job in people's hearts than it is for me to try to force the work of the Holy Spirit on people. The results are a lot less messy. Worship team, I'm going to have you guys come. And Noah, you can start playing that song, the newer one there. When fear, yeah, stand in your love. Yeah, let's do that one. You know, as I was praying this week and, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit and the fuel that continues to keep us bright, shining as a city set on a hill, I got this phrase and it says this, it says, walking in the Spirit life sets the scene for the reality of God's dream in your life. Okay, so your relationship with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, on the daily, sets the scene for the reality of the dreams. Okay, so my question is, what kind of prayers have you prayed? All right, what kind of prayers are you praying? What kind of time do you put into your relationship? Because whatever you want to have happen publicly, you need prayers that reflect that dream. You know what I'm saying? Because I look at our church, and I look at our city, and I have some big dreams for generational hope. I have some big dreams for our influence on the school district. We have some big dreams for our influence on the nation and the nations of the world. We have some big dreams for our friends at Tahoma Elementary. And those are great, and those are exciting, but are my prayers a reflection of the dreams that I dream for those things? You know, that's where I'm challenged. And the Lord gave me this picture. And he said this, he said, we need to pray prayers that hold what we want to have. Have you ever seen a big building being built? Like a skyscraper? It's a big old hole that they dig. Right? That's a big old hole, like twice or just as much as the building itself. And in our lives, our prayers hold what we want to have, like a foundation. And so I look at the dreams that I dream for this community, and I say, do my prayers match those dreams? Or is there a hole behind the dream? Right? Is there a big old place of prayers that have been poured in to seeing my dreams become a reality? How many of you want victory in your life? Come on. How many of you want victory in your family? How many of you want victory in our community? Listen, the victories that we experience in public are a reflection of the battles that were fought in private. You know, that's what walking with the Holy Spirit's all about. So today, we're going out of here. And it would be a shame to go out of here and not apply one thing to our daily life. And so our worship team's going to play, and they're going to pray too, because that's just what they do. They're praying right now. But I want us to go out of here applying different principles to our life. And so I want to encourage us as a body, and I want to challenge you. You might be spending zero time in God's presence on a daily basis. Your only time may be here. I'm glad you're here. But I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to spend 10 minutes of every day, 20 minutes, whatever the Lord would lay on your heart, where you would just connect with Him. For every minute you dream dreams about what God wants to do in your life, I want you to match that time with putting time in your prayer life, right? It might be for 10 minutes, may feel like an eternity, and trust me, it does sometimes feel like an eternity. And then I want you to not just pray, because that'd probably be the safe thing for some of us to do, right? Some of you are more comfortable just praying in the back room than you are going out. And I want to encourage all of us that you pray, but then that you take an opportunity to let your light shine before men. Would you stand with me this morning? So I just want to pray over us, and then we're going to sing this song. But Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the relationship that you've called us to have with the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you've given us fuel for the fire. Father, that you've called each and every one of us to win victories in private. That you've called every one of us to have a connection with you on a regular basis. Father, I know that you dream dreams over your people. Father, that you see us as a city on a hill that shines in the dark. Father, I pray this week over each person's relationship with you. Father, I pray that they would be encouraged to spend more time with you than ever before, because God, we recognize that we're in a season as a nation, in a season as a church, that we need to be so connected to your Spirit. And Father, I ask that you ignite those things in our hearts. Father, and that we would match those things with doing good out where we go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's sing this together as we go.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, my fear. Oh, my fear. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
See, there's power.
Power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's power that can save. Oh, there's power in your name. There's power in your name. There's power off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. Oh, there's resurrection power that can save. Oh, there's power in your name. There's power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, my fear. Oh, and my fear doesn't stand.
Challenge us, and I want to bring it back. Would you challenge yourself to spend time with the Lord this week? I'm not going to say 10 minutes. For some of you, it might be 2 minutes, but would you be deliberate about spending time where you are just allowing your spirit to connect to the Spirit of God? And then would you take an opportunity this month to do good? Whether it's serving at hometown holidays, whether it's doing something as a family, where you allow a chance to see God get glory through a thing that you do. Amen? Because as we sang, there's power that can break every chain, that can set the grave free, right? And the other stuff we sang, right? There's power. And God wants us to walk in that power. Amen. Well, come on, let's go out of here rejoicing, celebrating, because he is victorious in us. Amen. You're released. We'll see you next time.